I want to tell you the title of my message this morning, Make Room for Others. Turn to your neighbour and say, make room for others in your life. In your life. It's got to be in your life. Not just driving along and be courteous to someone and let them in. We're talking about much more than that. And so, leap into spring. Let me just give you a quick principle before I move into my points this morning. If you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 10. This is a principle. One of the principles where we get our faith promise card. Can everyone just put in their hand once more? And thank you, Katie, for the job that you did this morning. And Michelle, thank you so much. Isn't it great having the girls helping us this morning? Barry enjoyed it. So he should. All right. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 10. I suggest that you finish. Everyone say finish. What you started a year ago. This is a missions promise that we do from year to year. For you were the first to propose this idea. Is anyone glad that we help people in Liberia today? Is anyone glad that we help the Jagelmans in Southeast Asia and have helped so many rehabilitated and actually helped them with all sorts of disorders medically? And, you know, it goes on and on and on. And I'll try and get to some of those today. And it goes on. And you were the first to begin doing something about it. Now you should carry this project through to completion. Who knows that there's always more needs than there are. Like, we're just, it's something that in the kingdom of God, we're always got to do something more. It's just the way it is. And it also says, so if you've been doing this for the last 10 years, it's our Leap into Spring project, now you should carry this project through to completion just as enthusiastically as you began it. Someone smile at me. Just as enthusiastically. So that's the principle. Now, let me give you a few areas that we give to, because we have our guest speaker, Pastor Richard Botter, who actually oversees the whole of Southeast Asia region. And in fact, I've even had some Pakistani people actually contact me that I've been able to recommend to Pastor Botter. And I believe that one of those churches is close to actually joining C3 as well. So this is not just us. This is a global movement of reaching people and seeing our world one for Christ. And so Andrew and I oversee a number of churches. We have 5 churches in Liberia. Let's give a hand to those 5 churches in Liberia. And without our support, they would not be able to spread the gospel so effectively. And C3 Frio actually pay for the salaries of the teachers and the administration staff at C3 Education Academy in Monrovia, where there's approximately, well, who knows, it was 270, but it's probably 300 and something now. Those of you who are know Africa, it doesn't take long when you've got a decent church, decent school for people to attend regularly. Last year, through the kids' church originally, we actually started paying a principal and a teacher in Lormertown, where Graham and Steve and myself camped over one night. We are now paying that prince and two teachers, and the kids' church are helping. That's one of their projects in that. And the reason we started that was because in the hour and a half walk to the closest school, some of the kids were being abducted, and now they are not getting abducted. They are getting educated and growing because of our support. And so due to the ongoing generosity of our church to help with both medical supplies and rehousing, we actually were able to give over $50,000 throughout the C3 network to help destroy and eradicate Ebola a couple of years ago. I think it's worth mentioning some of these things. We've helped build schools and housing in Southeast Asia, and we'll send a team in the coming 12 months to the Jagelmans to construct a rehabilitation centre. And he's got his own coffee business, and it's likely that in the next year or two that he will no longer need our support. Isn't that awesome? That they are actually going to be self-sufficient in a few years' time. You know, also, we've provided support for C3 in the Philippines. Who's Filipino here? Let's give us a yell. Filipinos, there's a few of those around. And at Wellard as well. And last year, we helped reinvigorate a church that otherwise may not have pulled through. And C3 Manila is in great place again because we were able to send Andrea there for a number of weeks, and we were able to pay a pastor, Eric Harrison, from the East Coast, a C3 guy, and now that church is thriving. How good is this? We are helping C3 Nairobi. Any Kenyans here? No? No Kenyans this morning. There's Kenyans down at Wellard. You know, so that's awesome. We're also helping C3 Rip City. Everyone say Rip City. Seth and Karen Brooks, old friends of Andrea and mine, and doing a fantastic job. I've seen some of their videos. They're going to be fantastic. Anyone like Pastor Lynette Tobin here this morning? What an incredible lady doing widows for saris. We're still doing that. And on top of all that, who thinks that's not, like, is this an exhaustive list? I don't think it is. But anyway, we have a local charity. Does anyone like Poor Care this morning? We can be extremely proud of Poor Care, and which has grown into an amazing ministry, which is now self-funded. And it helps over, Charlie told me the other day, over 30,000 people per year. So Port Care funds some of our ministries of our church, and of course now has its well-attended community lunch on Fridays. And some of the, you are involved in that and love meeting some of our people, and some of our people, some of the people from that lunch are here this morning. How incredible. God's good. All right, let's get to this Acts, because I'm loving Acts. Anyone loving Acts? Some of you. All right, some of you have read your Bible this week. All right, Acts 2:43. Acts 2:43, a deep sense of awe, everyone say the word awe, came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. The early church is living in the authority of the resurrected Christ. We see through the book of Acts that as the church expands, so too do the miraculous signs and wonders. And when God is in control of our lives, there is a deep sense of awe that comes upon his church. Some of us that don't go to Wellard all the time, who are maybe gone once or twice, and I know Sandy has said this to me, that when he does go down there, it's like there's this orb of what God has done in establishing the work down there. So I want to ask you a question, use my first point this morning. Will you make room for others? Turn to your neighbour and say, will you make room for others? See, we see clearly from the book of Acts, including where Peter saw, if you like, in Acts 10, a sheet with all the animals on it. And Peter thought, no, I couldn't possibly eat that. No, I couldn't possibly do that. No way, there's no way I'm going to eat a reptile. And what, some of you thought that was funny, that's okay. The point is this, it was all about that God accepts every person exactly the same. Every single one of us, we're all the same, and he wants equality for each and every one. And that is why the mission of God spread throughout, as we read the book of Acts. And so verse 32 of Acts 4, all the believers were of one heart. You know how important it is to be of one heart? One heart, we do leap into spring together. Through one heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, and they shared everything they had. Pretty confronting verse, isn't it? This verse emphasizes that Jesus is Lord and Master over all. The early Christians' entire lives, they belong to him. In Luke 12, verse 32, Jesus' own words, so don't be afraid, little flock. I love the language. For it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Who'd like to get up to heaven and know that you've been a part of building the kingdom of God? He's our caring shepherd. And Jesus is speaking about our money and possessions, and the early church would have been witness to these words. And Jesus has said, don't worry about food and drink. I know what you need. Do you think Jesus knows what you need? Absolutely. And so don't be dominated by the thoughts of most people in the world thinking about everything they need and desire. I will give you what you need. I will give you what you need as you make my kingdom your primary concern. Now, when we get a hold of this principle and we really live like the early church, nothing is impossible for God. And so I am grateful, and I'm going to share a few stories before we finish this morning. So the focus Jesus has is everyone. Wealthy or not, our focus is to be the kingdom of God. Middle class, whatever class we are, whatever class you think you are, there isn't actually any class in the kingdom. It's just that we are all in this together. And so Luke 12:33, Jesus' words again, which again the early church would have known these words. It was some of the last words before Jesus went to heaven. Sell what you have and give to those in need. Not just a garage sale. This is incredible. When we really get the spirit of what God has called us to be. Look how seriously the early church took the words of Jesus, Acts 4:34. There was no poverty among them. Because people who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to others in need. And this is a great preacher of our local and international support. They brought the funds to the apostles to give to others in need. They brought, next week we will have a big bucket or basket, something pretty. Well, maybe not that pretty. Anyway, it'll be at the front here and we will bring our faith promise card for the next 12 months. And we are saying that we want to help the others because we're of one heart and one mind. It's not about ourselves, the kingdom of God. It's about advancing the kingdom wherever that is. And so I had it's very hard to communicate with one of the Liberian churches, C3 Kakata. If I said that wrong, Liberians, forgive me. They are actually getting ready to move on. Pastor Contessin and his wife, Mami, are getting ready to move onto a football field because their leases run up where they were holding church. And they're trying to do that as soon as possible. And he shared this story with me. I would like to share with you about entrepreneur Martha Coleman. As part of what we do in Leap into Spring, because I couldn't mention everything, we have Paradigm Shift, which is a African group that actually help people such as the people in Liberia that have very little means, and through microcredit, we're able to help them start small businesses so that they can become self-sustaining rather than using other people. You got the general message. And so I would like to share this story about Martha Coleman. And the only thing he forgot to tell me was what actually, it was actually a text as well as a bit of phone, and it didn't quite work out. The trainings, this is what he said, the training C3 Fremantle has provided through the entrepreneur program has grown Martha tremendously. Martha was the least financial person in our church. But now Martha has her own successful small business. Before, she could not afford to pay rent and was unable to look after her family. But now she has a business, she is able to support her family. Come on! My second point, the heart of Barnabas. Turn to your neighbour and say, have the Barnabas heart. Barnabas became a key player in both the extension and multiplication of the church. And whoever you are here today, through what we do with Leap into Spring, and we actually play such a vital role in the extension and multiplication of the church. But it's up to us how much we get involved in. And this is really interesting. Acts 4:36. For instance, there was Joseph, the one of the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Awesome name, hey? Who'd like to be called son of encouragement? and women, ladies of encouragement or whatever. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. My wife was born in Cyprus. That's the little woo-hoo. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles for those in need. He sold a what? He sold a block of land in today's... Now, it doesn't say how many blocks of land he had. It just says that he sold a block of land and he brought it to the apostles' feet. Now, Barnabas was an individual Christian who put the needs of the community first without regard for himself. And you don't get the nickname Son of Encouragement when you are a miser. You are encouraging because you help others however you can. It was Barnabas who was instrumental in taking Saul under his wing and believing that he had changed. That's a son of encouragement. For those of you who know anything about Saul, maybe we'll get to that in a couple of weeks' time. It was Barnabas with Saul who brought relief from the famine for the Christians in Judea, the Christians in Antioch giving as much as they could. It was Barnabas who taught the people in Acts 13, spreading the gospel throughout the entire island of Cyprus and into Paphos, which was a large city at that time in Cyprus. He boldly put a sorcerer in his place, calling him a son of the devil. Maybe don't do that this morning. And from that day, the sorcerer had to beg for bread. But as a result, the governor, who was trying to get, you know, words and insight from this sorcerer, he actually realized that his God was no good and he worshipped Jesus from that day forward. You see, it was Barnabas in Acts 15 who brought wisdom to help overcome an old tradition and bring freedom to the church and not religiosity. And the church continued to expand and build in its faith toward God. Wow. Who thinks that we could help be if we are all Barnabas, how great would Leap into Spring be this year? You see, there is a principle throughout the book of Acts that as we act generously towards others in need, like Barnabas, that the Church of Jesus Christ will be transformational in its nature. Let me give you a short illustration from one of the commentators. He wrote this from the book of Acts. Even allowing for hyperbole is exaggerated statements and claims. The fact is that in the earliest period of the church, few were in need or want because Christians shared with one another. Those that could share, shared with other Christians, and they took up other offerings for the furthering of the gospel and to support men like Paul in ever-widening circles of the church. In the year 2007, 10 years ago, we actually had Josh Jagelman in our church. Our building was brand new. They were the only, at the time, they were the only mission focus 10 years ago. But it's amazing what God can do as we are faithful with a little. And when you commit yourselves to fulfill a project as we have done with the Jagelmans, and God sees that his people are good stewards, who'd like to be called a good steward? And he adds areas as their capacity and influence grows. 10 years on, we're still helping the Jagelmans, but I'm sure that's not going to be long term, as I've said. And we are in Liberia. It looks like we're going to have a church in Sierra Leone. Isn't it? Well, I thought that was pretty exciting. Andrea thought it was pretty exciting. We're going to have a church in Sierra Leone. So good. We have churches in Ghana, India, Philippines, C3 Rip City, C3 Nairobi, Wellard, Port Care Lodge, Jam. Reese Frank is now the chaplain of Melville Senior High School. From what started from one little thing? It all started over a decade ago because, like the early church, we had goods that we were prepared to part with. And we have, as members of C3 Fremantle, allocated funds as individuals and as families to make sure that others have at least food, shelter, and clothing and can provide for their families. And as a result, the gospel of Jesus has spread everywhere we have influence. The antithesis to Barnabas is Ananias and Sapphira, who thought themselves greater than God himself. And that is a very dangerous place to live, where they said that they had something that was worth so much, they'd sold a property that was worth so much, and in actual fact, it was worth so much more. And it wasn't actually that, it was simply that they said that they'd given everything into the kingdom of God when actually they hadn't. It's so important because God values who we are and our integrity. And if we're saying that we have an income of this much, then we should tithe accordingly. If we're saying that we have this amount that we're budgeting for Leap into Spring, then we should do that effectively, because ultimately we're talking about building God's house. And so we must take seriously our commitments before God. In Acts 4:33, the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I love this part. God's great favor was upon them all. You know when you've got the favor of God on your life. Something else that's noticeable about Barnabas is the fact that his giving is by no means a secret. And the text does not specifically say how much he gives per se, but it certainly does not hold back that it was him who gave it and it was him who sold the property. And our Leap into Spring program, we would prefer that each and every person or couple in our church wrote out a faith promise card, simply because it aids us tremendously in planning for the next 12 months. In Matthew 6, verse 3, because I just want to touch on this because I've had a number of people talk to me throughout the last 12 months. Matthew 6, 3, but when you, because I'll try and talk to you about this verse in particular. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. This is Jesus' words. Now, Jesus is dealing with motives, not that all giving should be done secretly. Now, in verse 1 of Matthew 6, it says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them." The important phrase is "to be seen by them." Jesus is not saying that others should not be aware of our giving, as the Bible calls them, our good deeds, our acts of righteousness. Rather, he is commanding that we do not do these things in order to receive recognition from people, but because we love Jesus. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So the bottom line is, we can keep it a secret, but sometimes it's actually great to inspire other people in our faith. Now, Barnabas inspired so many people because he sold that property, and the church and the kingdom of God expanded dramatically. No doubt about it. And the only issue is that of our hearts and seeking reward from people rather than men, rather than God. And so Ananias and Sapphira, this is where they got it terribly wrong. They wanted recognition from people and the church, and in doing so placed themselves in a position claimed to be beyond his power. You cannot be a Christian and withhold. I will say that one more time. You cannot be a Christian and withhold. The means you have is to help others. That's the scripture. And Barnabas is in the Bible so that we model the willingness to give. Have his heart to build the church however possible. And those of us that have been given the privilege by God to own property, have investments, have additional sources of income, it is in our ability to be generous, have a Barnabas heart, and do what we can to build his church both locally and internationally. We find ways to make additional income, because we want to see the kingdom of God extended however we can. So I want to ask you a couple of questions before I go to our last point this morning. Will you make room for others? Will you have the heart of Barnabas? And lastly, God's mission trumps all else. God's mission what? Trumps all else. One more time, God's mission. Acts 1:8, you shall receive what?
Power.
What else does it say? Oh, good on you, Susan. What a great connect group leader. Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall go, and you'll go, and you'll go locally. I'm paraphrasing now. You'll go interstate. You'll go around the world. And in Acts 6, there was a big internal problem that arose, which I talked about a few weeks ago, among the Grecian Jews and the Hebraic Jews. And the widows of the Grecian Jews, who had been displaced with no family support of their own, were missing out on their food portion, whereas the Hebraic widows were well cared for. And the solution by the early church was to appoint 7 good men. Who believes we've got 7 good men here this morning? Who believes we've got more than 7? Who's a good man this morning, or woman? Come on. Who's righteous here? Who's saved by grace? Come on. We're all good men. Turn to your neighbour and say, I'm so glad you're a good woman or man, whoever they are. Okay, these 7 men. It says in Acts 6:3, we will put you in charge of this business of looking after the widows. Okay? Have you got that? You're in charge. Bremer, you're in charge. You're the boss man. Make sure those widows don't miss out. Traits. They were well respected. They were full of the Holy Spirit, and they were wise in their dealings. And in verse 7 of Acts 6, it says this, God's message was preached in ever-widening circles. This is a really interesting scripture. On the one hand, they are waiting on tables, and the next, it seems like the gospel is being just increasing and churches are starting and more people. Amazing. What is Luke trying to get through to us here? Acts 8, verse 4 and 5. Go there. Acts 8, verse 4. But the believers who fled Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the good news about Jesus. Who knows that when you do the will of God, there's always a bit of persecution? Look at this. Philip. Everyone say Philip with me. My brother's name's Philip. It's not hard to forget for me. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Now come back to Acts 6. They chose the following. Stephen, Philip was the next name mentioned. What's Philip meant to be doing? Waiting on tables and feeding the poor. But what is he actually doing? He's preaching the gospel. They chose these men to wait on tables and look after the poor, and Philip has left Jerusalem. Presumably, others are left in charge of looking after the needs of the poor. And Philip has travelled 36 miles away into Samaria, and the people who live in Samaria are viewed very differently from the Jews. At best, foreigners, at worst, aliens. But Philip is there, and he's preaching Christ. And Philip's preaching is confirmed by miraculous signs, healing, and the casting out of devils. Who knows that when you have the Spirit of Christ on you, that there's going to be wisdom on you in your heart? Who knows that when you are a generous person like Barnabas, that when you commit to our Leap into Spring program, you may start looking after the poor, but you may end up being an incredible witness for the kingdom of God? And I think it's time that all of us today recognize the importance of building the kingdom of God. Because this early church, man, they were heroes. There's only 3 traits. Will you be respected? Who'd like to... That's 3... Will you be respected? That's 1. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Be careful how I do that. And 3, generous with our time and money. and our serving. See, when you and I make room for others, he propels us into a deeper relationship with himself. Because you're not relying on just yourself anymore, you need God. Isn't that where God wants us to be? And so it all starts with generous hearts for others. Everyone say others. Oh my God. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, that you are our master and king. See, one thing's certain. God can't use people unless they're developing a generous spirit. How do you know if you have a generous spirit? How do you know if you have a generous spirit? Because God's mission trumps all else. And Leap into Spring is an avenue God will use in your life, just as he used the avenue of the seven Grecian Jews who are commissioned to look after the poor and needy and actually advance the kingdom of God. The most God-like living we can do is living our life focused on others, living to give, living to serve, living to bless, living to share. And this is the heart of God, it's the heart of Jesus. Father God, I want to just take a few more minutes of our time this morning and really round this off. Philip was willing to serve the Lord by serving others, however his leaders and fellow men determined, and God used him to spread the gospel even further afield. He meets an Ethiopian eunuch who's the official treasurer of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch is reading out loud in his carriage, because that's how they read in those days, Isaiah 53, which says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." The eunuch didn't understand it. Philip arrives miraculously and engages in dialogue with eunuch, and Philip leads him to Christ. And Philip proceeds to baptize the eunuch immediately, and as soon as the eunuch comes up out of the water, Philip is snatched away by the Holy Spirit for his next mission in advancing the kingdom of God. Rick Warren says this: the only way you can serve God is by serving other people. The only way you can serve God is by serving other people. And together next weekend, we can make this our best Leap into Spring yet.